Today's program was brought to you by Fiji Water and Patina Events at Brooklyn Botanic Garden, an idyllic location for weddings, corporate events, and parties of any style. Visit us at patinaevents.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to On the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. We're coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, April 4th, 2018. This is the 172nd episode of the series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is a top food blogger and social media influencer, and I'll introduce her fully in a moment. First, as I do on every show, I will start out with my PR tip, and then later we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to develop your own voice. Take what you've learned from others and in life to hone your own opinion, and then always speak your truth. We are all unique and should embrace our individuality rather than try to be just like everyone else, as that would be boring. So instead, be you, and whatever that is, own it. You only have one voice, so it should make you proud. That's my tip today. Now, I'm really excited to have my guest in the studio. It is Dara Pollack. She is of The Skinny Pig, a local NYC food blog born in 2008, covering recipes and restaurant reviews. Her tagline is, "Where gluttony is no longer a sin." Dara is a freelance food writer, a social media influencer. She was born and raised as a New Yorker, and she graduated from FIT with a degree in advertising and marketing communications, but eventually realized that her passion for fashion was not as strong as her passion for bacon. So welcome, Dara.
Thank you. You like that one? I thought that was really clever.
I do. Saying it out loud, I was like, passion for fashion.
That was my little thing there. I was like, this works.
It does work. And then, of course, the tie into bacon and the skinny pig, we're going to get into that. So let's get into it. So how did you start out with your career and go from fashion into the food world?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting story, long story, but I will try to give you the abridged version. But I was actually a dancer, ballet, tap, and, you know, all that. And when I was 17, my senior year of high school, I actually got hit by a car and I nearly lost my leg. But thankfully, I did not. And definitely a hard rehabilitation process. But I was in the hospital for a month, like laid up in bed, you know, had like 16 surgeries on my leg. And while I was laid up, all I did was watch Food Network. I just found it very like soothing and kind of like cathartic in a weird way to watch people cook. So I was like, well, any shot of being a dancer, you know, was pretty much out the window. So I was like, I kind of needed a new creative outlet. And that was when I decided that, you know, I was like, I'll give my, you know, give it a shot at cooking. I always loved to eat. I mean, eating was always a very big part of my life. That was when I would like hobble up the stairs and I wasn't able to even stand yet, but I would like pull over a stool, like over to the stove, and I would just start cooking. And that's kind of how it all started. I took a food writing class while I think I was at FIT because it was just a hobby, you know, and that's kind of how it all just developed.
Right. Yeah. No, I know sometime last year you wrote a bit about your story, and I'm so glad you shared it.
Thank you.
And it's, yeah, no, listening to you say that, I, you know, getting emotional.
Getting the feels.
Yeah, getting the feels. But, you know, it's. I don't know if you think things happen for a reason. You're able to turn it into something else, and that silver lining, and the fact that you found this other career. So I was thinking back. I think we first connected through the Strong Buzz.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's right. Oh, yes. Okay. So through Andrea, and
right.
she was the person, Andrea Strong, love her. She was the woman who taught the food writing class
okay.
that I took, because she kept telling me, she was like, I really think you have a talent for food writing and just writing in general. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. This is just a hobby. Like, no. And she was like, I'm telling you, I think you do. If you ever want to write for my website, like, let me know. And then I was like, okay, maybe I'll start a blog. Like, maybe I'll do some writing for her. And I did that, like, just, you know, like little things here and there for her, like reviews. I think the first place I reviewed for her was Maison Premier, which is now like one of the best oyster bars in Williamsburg.
It's a good one.
Such a good one. And I hate oysters. So that was really fun because I was like, I have to review a place where I can't really eat any of this stuff. But yeah, it was really fun. And it's just so weird. That's why I do agree that everything happens for a reason, because like that's how it all started. It's so crazy. I forgot we met that way.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about it. And Andrea, I mean, the Strong Buzz was really one of the first food blogs that people really paid attention to and
Absolutely.
Had a voice. And there's a lot more in that arena now. But
it's nuts.
Yeah. And PR to, you know, food writer relationship started. So
yes, indeed.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, I know you, we did a interview from South Beach Wine and Food Festival, and you answered this question, but I'm going to ask it again about your name, just so people know, like, how did you come up with the Skinny Pig?
Totally, yes. So it actually was kind of a nickname because, again, being a dancer, I felt like I was like the Michael Phelps of dancing. Like I was just always working out, essentially, like dancing 5 times a week, multiple hours a day. I just ate whatever I wanted, and I ate so much. I had such a massive appetite that I think somebody like walked in on me one day like eating like a bucket of cheese fries, basically. It was like from Outback or something, really like crazy. And they were just like, how do you eat so much and stay thin? You're like Skinny Pig. And I think that's kind of where it started. It just stuck, and I was like, that has a nice ring to it. So that's it.
It stuck. Yeah. Do people ask you a lot?
Yes, they do. I mean, they kind of sometimes think now that I'm like a fitness person, I guess, because of the word skinny.
Because
there's other bloggers, like I want to say somebody Skinny Taste or something like that, like makes like mm-hmm. recipes that are, you know, like healthy-ish and whatever. So I'm like, no. I was like, this is not that.
Yeah. But do you still, I mean, we could get into a little, do you still dance? And you also, I know, have a relationship with Capizio.
Yes, I do. I'm a brand ambassador for Capizio, actually. And it was because, I reached out to them a while back, just kind of looking for a place to tell my story a little bit outside of my own blog, something that, you know, I thought might help people, because it's another reason I got into this, is to try to help people through food and just through sharing some of my experiences. And they were very moved by it in the same way that you were. And so now I'm an ambassador for them. And I do still dance occasionally. I wish I had more time to do it. And I'm also getting older now. Things are all like falling apart.
You're much younger than me, so it's all good.
But no, it's true though. I mean, like I took a couple tap classes not long ago, and I just was like in pain for 2 days. And I was like, yeah, my body is starting to reject this, but I'm going to push through it.
Yeah. Well, what does it mean to be an ambassador?
So it could be a lot of different things for different brands. In this case, you know, I definitely will try to incorporate the clothes into a lot of the posts that I wear, because, you know, a lot of people are into athleisure now. So that's a, you know, athleisure. Yeah, that's a thing.
I like it.
It's a thing, I swear. So like, you know, I have leotards from Capizio that actually are dance leotards, but I wear them under jeans sometimes, as like women wear bodysuits under mm-hmm. skirts and pants. It's same kind of thing. So I wear things like that. And if I post about it, I'll always make sure that I'm tagging them and mentioning like my hoodie is from Capizio or whatever. And then I also will create blog posts for them depending on what I'm doing, fitness classes too. If I take anything that I feel like they might be interested to know about, I'll, you know, pitch it their way and see if I can write about it. It kind of involves different things. Yeah.
And on their end, what are they doing for you?
It's like a cross-promotional
thing.
I mean, they have obviously a huge reach. So if I like post something, then they'll repost it usually, or they'll tag me in some of their stories. You know, it's just a cross-promotional effort, really. That's it.
Okay.
And there's
I think it's cool.
Yeah,
it's a great brand.
It is. It's a great brand. And, you know, it's not like a payment situation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a thing that I am very passionate about, and I just do it.
Yeah. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
So while we'll finish up talking about dancing stuff, I'll ask mm-hmm. you my question from my last episode. So I had on a fellow dancer from her her, I don't know, before she got into her career. So I had on an episode 171, Emily Takudis. She's the executive commissioning editor of Food and Drink at Fiden, a premier publisher of books. So as I said, she has a dance background before her food life, and she saw on Instagram your story. So she wants to know, how has your dance experience and background a part of your life and food world today? And maybe we sort of answered that a little bit, but...
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think that discipline is something that you learn when you're a dancer from a young age. So I think that having that instilled in me just in terms of like the eating, honestly, like everyone always asks me, how do you eat so much and stay relatively in shape? And that's a big part of it, is you have to be disciplined, especially doing what I do, even like on the job aspect. Like, you have to be disciplined with everything that you do, the time that you get up, because I work for myself, you know, the portion controlling of the food is discipline. So I think that that's a big part of it. Yeah, I think that's probably the best way that it incorporates. And obviously, yes, it does give me a way to exercise and actually have fun with it, as opposed to just like running or something incredibly boring. But, you know,
yeah,
I wish I was somebody who enjoyed running. I really do.
Yeah, yeah, I enjoy running, but that's a great answer. Yeah. And I get that question too. And I do think it's like, yeah, watching a little portion control there.
Yes, always. I mean, you have to. you have to. However, I did eat 5 slices of pizza here before, so, you know.
Well, when at Roberta's.
Yes, when,
you know,
at Roberta's.
Duty calls.
Absolutely.
Well, cool. So let's take a little break here, and then we're going to come back. We'll talk all about what you're doing with your food writing and Instagramming and social media and all of the above.
The fun
stuff.
So
stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Patina Restaurant Group offers unparalleled service in New York's most iconic locations, including Lincoln Center, Rockefeller Center, and Macy's Herald Square. From meetings and presentations in the glass-walled atrium, to galas in the renovated Palm House, and intimate wedding showers at Yellow Magnolia Cafe, your event will be perfectly imagined and customized at Brooklyn Botanic Garden. You can also enjoy a la carte brunch and lunch at the picturesque Yellow Magnolia Cafe, overlooking Lily Pool Terrace. Chef Rob Newton and Chef de Cuisine Morgan Jarrett offer warm, distinctive cuisine with a focus on local vegetables, grains, and sustainably sourced meats and fish.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Dara Pollack of The Skinny Pig. She's a freelance food writer and social media influencer. Let's talk all about that. Your writing, your social media-ing. I'm making up words. So you have your blog, and you also write for other outlets today.
Yes, I do.
Okay. And... So are you pitching, and what are you covering?
Yeah, it depends, honestly. When I first started freelancing, just writing, I mean, I pitched a lot of different things because I was really just trying to expand, you know, the portfolio and get my name out there. So I was kind of pitching whatever like came into my inbox, and I was like, oh, this sounds cool, whatever. But obviously it's always food related, things that are interesting and different. I try to go for now. Because it's so tough with freelance writing. If I'm being totally honest, I have zero idea how anybody makes it as a freelance writer in New York City. I'm not even joking. Like, it is so tough.
No, you got to hustle.
You got to hustle.
Really?
And it's just like the publications too, you know, they are very like, they get so many and they have so many people creating content that the rates that you get paid now are just so, so low. It almost makes it like, as the writer, it makes it not worth it to pitch so much, you know? So I try to be strategic about what I'm pitching. Like, I went to this place recently It was the one hotel in Brooklyn downtown, and their rooftop bar was called Brooklyn Heights Social Club. And it was a beautiful space, like very unique, very different. Nothing I haven't been in like a while, at least. Like nothing I've seen was like that. And I was like, wow, this place really speaks to me. So I pitched it to Playboy Digital. And, you know, they were like, yeah, we really like this. And the way I framed it, I guess I said it was something like, if James Dean and James Bond were to have a drink, this is where they would go or something. They were like, we love that. So, you know, it was exciting. It was my first piece I've ever written for them. But that's the type of stuff that I try to go for, is stuff that's different, because it just, there's so much out there.
Yeah, no, that's great. I saw your piece.
Thank you.
That's awesome you got that.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Because then, it might lead to other opportunities.
Yeah, well, with Playboy, I got to limit those opportunities, though.
Yeah, but, other outlets,
I know
too.
Yeah.
So social media came about, I don't know how many years ago now.
I mean, if you're going like Facebook, that's like 2006, 2005.
Yeah.
Or we go back to MySpace, 2003.
Yeah. Well, like, I wasn't thinking MySpace, but
No one does.
Glad we're giving it a shout out.
Yes, no one does anymore. So
yeah. So and
sorry,
Instagram.
Tom.
So Instagram is, I mean, I don't know. That's let's talk about how, well, you use your handle is the same as your website.
Yes.
Well, it's Skinny Pig NYC.
That's the thing that's so frustrating. But yes.
Well, no, but I mean, let's talk about like what. I mean, how did you get into social media and grow your following?
Yeah. So I think I started my I had an Instagram account that it's the same as, like, if you go deep creep into my Instagram way back, it's the same. Like, it was just different handle. It was like my personal account, like Dara P411 or something like that.
I remember that, actually.
Do you?
Now that you're saying
God.
It, I probably still follow it.
It's this. I just changed the name because I started being like, oh, this is a cool place to house all of my food photos. Because, you know, oh, and I should mention that my blog, this is my 10-year anniversary of my blog.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. 2008 is when I started it. It's crazy. But yeah, so I was like, this is like a cool place to put my food photos. Awesome. And I just started putting them there. And then when I noticed that they started to get a little bit of traction, like from people who really like food and not just my own friends that followed me, and my account was like private, like most people who started out. And I was like, you know, maybe I'll change this to Skinny Pig. And I actually wanted at Skinny Pig, but somebody has been squatting on it since like 2011. And I cannot get that handle. So I made it Skinny Pig NYC. And yeah, I think around 2014, 2015 is when it started to like pick up. I got reposted by Food and Wine once, and I gained almost 2,000 followers in one night. That wouldn't happen now in a million years.
Yeah, actually, I got reposted once from Food and Wine. It didn't do much.
Oh,
I mean, no, it didn't. I mean, it was a picture I took of stone crabs down in Miami.
Was it
I
recent?
Remember this. It was probably mid. Like, no, it was probably like 4 years ago.
Okay, interesting.
It got a tremendous amount of likes on their page. Like,
okay.
I think it got like 13,000 likes.
Whoa.
But I think I got like 5 new followers.
That's interesting. I wonder.
Yeah.
Were you private?
No, I never started my account private.
Ah,
I don't believe.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah. you also... Well, how did you get into photography and realize that this was a direction that you could incorporate into your career?
Yeah, totally. And even that's crazy when I think about it. Like, I just did a shoot the other day for a client, and the photos are in Urban Daddy, like, on their website. Like,
you take beautiful photos.
Thank you. But again, if you go into my Instagram from way back in the day, it is not cute. Lots of flash, lots of messy place. It's disgusting. But yeah, how did I get into that? I don't know. As a food blogger, food is very visual and very colorful. So I had always taken pictures of my food. I remember when I would go out to like dinners and lunches way back in the day, like with my little point and shoot, or even with, you know, phones when their cameras were decent. And that's it just kind of progressed. And I was like, I just discovered that I really love looking at food photos. So I got really into Instagram, and it became like a thing for me that I was like aspiring to be. Like, there were accounts that I followed that I was like, wow, I want to shoot like that one day. And then here we are. So
yeah. So now how do you work with companies or restaurants with what the content you're putting on Instagram and sure. other social media outlets?
Sure. So, well, with restaurants, it's straight up a barter situation. I mean, I think most people know this by this point. From a food blogger and food influencer standpoint, you come in, you or the restaurant or the PR company invites you in, you have a meal, you take pictures of that meal, and then you post it on Instagram. Everybody wins, right? That's mm-hmm. the method. That is the program. That works. But
I'm familiar.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I was like, this is for everybody else who's listening. But yeah, so that's how that works. I haven't really changed that. Some people, from what I understand, actually have started charging for things. And in their defense, because some people might think that that's like bad or something, but I think it depends on what you're doing. Like if I'm coming in and I'm doing a like legitimate photo shoot for you and I'm taking your entire menu, 1000% I'm going to charge you for that. That's photography. If somebody's coming in to shoot a video, same thing. That's a lot of work behind it. You got to edit, you got to film. It's mm-hmm. I think that is 100% yeah. something that people should pay for. And then with brands, you know, it depends, but it really, I think, depends on the brand and what they're asking for. But a lot of the brands that I work with are mostly food related. There's occasionally certain things that are like apparel or something like that. But for the most part, it's mostly food brands. Yeah, cooking especially, obviously. So, yeah.
And they give you assignments to post, or what are the obligations? And it's also like with Insta stories.
Mm-hmm.
How do you justify the what you're doing when something disappears after, you know, 24 hours? Like, we have some background noise yeah. with the Roberta's crew, but
that's okay.
It's
yes.
Well, but people at home, you probably hear that too. But that is why we're live here at the back of Roberta's.
Yes.
So yeah, just with mm-hmm. with I guess. With what your obligations are with, or how like Insta stories is working, and how much are you doing that now?
Oh yeah. So that depends. Well, I mean, do you mean just on a personal level, like when I'm living my everyday life, or you mean from a brand and like sponsorship well, end of things?
I mean, you can answer it either or, mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I find everything ties together.
Yeah.
So maybe you're, I mean,
if you're a good content creator, it does. Okay. It should. I mean, yeah. No, I'm just like,
yeah,
saying.
But I don't know. Or I mean, however you want to answer that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's tough because I think that the toughest thing I find with like Instagram stories is always trying to make things look like a cohesive, like what you were just saying, like it looks like everything flows together naturally. Like, you know, you put up something on Instagram, like in feed, then you have something on your stories that links to it. Like that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then you also have like, here's what I'm doing with my day. And like, then it's just like a series of photos. And then it's like, it should all flow. It depends though, when you're doing branding stuff, sometimes that can be a little trickier to make it look organic, but that's why I'm pretty careful and strategic about the companies that I work with. Like, you know, obviously if some vegan company is going to come and try to work with me, I'm going to be like, I think you have the wrong audience, you know?
Yeah.
but yeah, it's tough because you always have to be like on. That's the thing with stories, and that's with an influencer in general is always being on. I think that's the tough thing about it.
Yeah. But if you're, I don't know, you're good yeah. at it.
I try to be. Yeah. People think I live this glam life and I'm like, no, I really don't. But I guess that makes me like good at my job.
Yeah, no, it does. It does.
So funny.
I mean, where do you think, this is a tough question, but where do you think social media is, what do you think's next? Or do you yeah. think Instagram is going to stay as strong as it is now? I feel that's, in my opinion, the one in the food world that everyone's really taken to
yeah.
because it's food pictures.
And yeah, it's interesting. It's funny that you say like as strong as it is now. It is strong, but it's not nearly as strong as it used to be. I mean, the yeah. space is so cluttered now that it's pretty hard for anybody who's coming into the game and that's new. Like, God bless, because it is tough to make yourself stand out now. I know that I'm like definitely lucky that I came about in this industry, in this field at a certain time that food influencers weren't really a thing. Now you go, you know, check New York City and food influencers, there's like 1,000, probably more, honestly. It's crazy. So, you know, the bigger the pond gets, the smaller, you know, or what's the term that I'm trying to, you know?
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I was like a big fish in a small pond. Now it's like the other way around is what I'm saying. But yeah, it's tough. I don't know that it's, I don't think Instagram is going to go away like at all. I think it's going to be around. But you know, you have to start thinking like, what if it did go away, these influencers? Like, what would you do? That's another reason I like to diversify what I'm doing. And I like to do other things like, you know, freelancing and doing PR and consulting for restaurants. That's why I like to do that, because what if it did disappear tomorrow? Like, I know it's extreme and it won't, but what would you do?
Yeah. And you're also, you manage some accounts for, do you do that? No.
I used to. I haven't done it anymore. Like now I said, now I do like the consulting end of things. I do like brand strategy for restaurants and different brands. I'll help them strategize the, you know, social media. I'll help them with any branding issues they have. And then I'll also help with like events and things like that. So it's more of like a consultant level. And I love that stuff, like strategy and things like that. Is like, and being creative and finding ways to like make your brand stand out. That's what I love to do. So it's a good direction for me.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
What, just so as far as numbers, like what's your following right now?
I want to say it's 87.7K.
While you think we I would were know talking, that 85 while maybe? We were talking, it probably went up a point.
God,
a
yeah.
Point eight.
I would hope, but I, like I said, the growth is so slow these days. It's crazy.
Do you try, or, I mean, are you trying to get more followers? Are you,
no.
And is there, I mean, I from following, mm-hmm. from being a part of this game or this industry, I see, I mean, how... I guess commenting on other photos and being a part of the food Instagram community, and it seems like, does that help? Like the
following.
You grow your following by supporting others. Is there a strategy involved in that, or is it now kind of just a little luck?
You know what it is? Yeah, I honestly think it's like luck / Instagram picks their favorites and then just locks out anybody else. No, but I mean, that's what it feels like. It used to be that way, that like if you were somebody who was on it a lot and engaging a lot and commenting and liking and whatever, then that would help grow your following. It used to be that way. Now, it almost seems like if you do that too much, it like blocks you. Now it's like if you use the same hashtags, it shadow bans you.
What does that mean?
You don't know about the shadow ban?
No, I was just about to ask you about hashtags. Do they matter? What's the shadow ban?
Sorry.
I feel like I should know this.
Oh, you should. It's fantastic. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But watch me get kicked off of Instagram in 2 seconds. But anyway, no. So what it is if you use the same hashtags too much, like for instance, I copy and paste my hashtags. I have different sets of them mm-hmm. for the type of content that I'm posting. So it's still strategic, but like I'm also really lazy. So I copy and paste it. If Instagram feels that you're using the same hashtag too much and you are automating your content in any way, it will block your post from showing up under that hashtag. So, you know, when you look under a hashtag to see all the photos that have been posted under said hashtag, if Instagram is like, no, F you, you've used this too much, they are not going to put your photo under that hashtag. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah.
When did that start?
You know, I want to say it was about a year ago. Oh, I could be wrong.
Really behind.
That's why I was like, what? Yeah, I think it was that, but isn't that friggin' insane? Can I curse on here? Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yes, you may. Yes, you may.
You know me. I was like, I've been trying to hold it back this whole time.
I feel there was... See, I think I tried for a little while. I was doing the cut and paste thing.
Yeah.
And then I just stopped. And now I like hashtags. Right. I mean, I kind of have fun with them.
Totally.
I don't really think they do anything in my own, but I still do them. I'm kind of like addicted to doing hashtags.
No, I think that I definitely think that it's necessary. And I think it's something, I still do it on every single post. But yeah, I do copy and paste them. But like I said, I just have different sets of like, depending on what it is, like for cooking and things, for recipes, whatever. But yeah, no, it's definitely something you should do and it helps. But there's so much content on Instagram now. There's so many users that... You know, it's hard. It's hard to even get searched in there. So that's why shadow ban.
Well, I hope Instagram doesn't block my solo dining hashtag, because that is the one I use most consistently.
You might want to check it. There's a site.
That's interesting.
There's a
I never thought
check.
About it.
There's a website you can check to see if you're posting.
I thought it was like my
in.
Hashtag, my thing.
I mean, yeah, it probably is, but still.
All right. I'm going to check. I don't think I abuse it.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure
I do solo dine. Okay. So on that note, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back and play my speed round game and talk some industry news.
Yay.
This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Hey, thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. This is Katie, HRN Executive Director, and I'm so excited to share with you our coverage from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival.
We are here live today at Charleston Wine and Food.
Join us as we talk all things food.
Come to Charleston, eat some seafood. Eat all of the seafood.
Chicken fried chicken with chorizo steak and salsa verde mashed potatoes.
So quintessentially like Southern fare. At its finest.
And have important conversations.
We're also talking about professional women in restaurants and how underrepresented they are, people of color in restaurants, and how they're not talked about.
We get real with Food Network's Manit Chauhan.
Balance is BS. I was told that I wasn't going to be bleeped out.
And find out about raising sugarcane with Chef Sean Brock.
It's like being Indiana Jones or something. You never know what you're going to find.
You'll come away inspired by the power of food and the food scene in Charleston. Here's Dr. Jessica B. Harris.
Food is constantly in flux. Food is always moving. Food is the only real lingua franca that we have that allows us to connect with other folks.
So tune in to Heritage Radio Network on tour at heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't go wrong.
And we're back. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Dara Pollack. It's time for my speed round game. I have a feeling you're going to be good at this.
All right. I hope so.
What it is I name a couple things, such as chocolate or vanilla. It's a preference, you pick your preference.
Like, got it.
So.
Got it.
Get ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay. Here we go. Eat in or eat out?
In.
Wine, beer, cocktail, or mocktail?
Cocktail.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Small plates or large plates?
Large.
Communal table or chef's counter?
Ooh, that's actually tough. Chef's counter.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping.
Couple more.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon or any other type of meat?
I think you know the answer to that
question. I know.
Question.
Well, I like to give you some. Threw one in for you, an easy one. How about Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook?
Instagram.
Are you still Snapchatting?
No, I haven't used it in forever. Once they came out with stories, yeah. I was like, sorry.
That was my. I was only on Snapchat for a minute before stories came out. So
yeah, I feel like it's a younger generation thing that I'm not. Yeah. I never really totally got into.
Same with me.
Yeah.
Okay, two more. Cheese plate or dessert?
Oh, cheese plate.
Manhattan or Brooklyn?
Ooh. Brooklyn. I mean, I recently moved out of here, but, you know, and I always love Manhattan, but I definitely miss it here now. Especially being back in Roberta's tier. Yeah.
Cool. I knew you'd be good at that game. You're very quick.
Yay.
Yay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So industry news. It's so funny. Of course, there's a story this week in the Washington Post titled, "No, Bacon Does Not Make Everything Better" by Tim Harmon.
Oh, my God.
And I saw that title. I was like, of course we have to talk about it.
So, that is offensive. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. This piece is basically arguing that or saying bacon became really popular many years ago. And he had some numbers about just statistics on how popular bacon recipes are and how well it does.
Right.
But he's basically saying that there's a time and place for bacon and maybe bacon doesn't have to be on everything.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, as somebody, and you know, I love bacon. Bacon is like a part of my brand at this point. When people see stuff with bacon, they send it to me. They post it on my Facebook. Like, everyone knows I'm obsessed with bacon. I think it was my first post I ever wrote on my blog was about bacon. Either way, I actually kind of agree with that because, you know, it used to be a thing that was like enhancing a dish or just whatever. And it is. It's a beautiful, beautiful meat and fat situation. It's salty. It's great. But people really do tend to over-bacon things these days. It's like, okay, let's kind of tone it back. But I think that that is a prime example of a very clickbaity article. Not that that's a bad thing. I think that's actually great. But, you know, it's like if he's saying that, then that means that he still loves the product. He just thinks that it's gotten a little bit too out of control, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, basically that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We had to talk about it.
Yeah, no. I when you said the title, I was like, I am personally offended by this. But now that I know the details, I definitely love bacon. I would hate to see it go away, but I think that some places just use it a little frivolously. Mm-hmm. You know, be strategic about your bacon use.
Yeah, I agree. And I love bacon too, but I don't want to eat it every day or on everything for sure.
Yeah. I could.
We all could.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other article I had was in the New York Post. The title is De Blasio Eyes Vacancy Tax for Greedy Landlords Seeking Top Dollar. And this was by Rich Calder, Elizabeth Rosner, and Ruth Brown wrote this together. So I think this is a good thing. I feel, you know, he's saying to put on a vacancy tax on storefronts and places in the city that are obviously vacant. And I just think, and they're saying in the borough, there was something in the past, since 2012 to 2017, the vacancy rates doubled from 2.1% to 4.2%. Mm. And I just see, as someone in the industry who follows what happens with restaurants, there's been a lot of restaurants that have closed due to the landlord tripling their rent, and they're just, it's impossible. And then the places sit empty because the landlords are waiting to get
someone who can afford it. Yeah.
And there's a lot of empty spots in the city. So,
yeah, I think that there's something to be said about that. It's tough because it's like, well, do you want to have it be all Starbucks and, you know, Gaps and Burberry's or whatever, like all chain stuff? Or do you want it to have more of a neighborhood and more of a, you know, cool type of vibe? You know, I think the West Village is definitely getting to be one of those areas that's like, they're like Tribeca especially is big on that. And, yeah, it's like, but is it bad to have all the chains, or like, I'm trying to say, like, is it worse to have that, or is it worse to have like empty buildings? Because that can get real sketchy real quick too. I feel like it promotes like loitering and stuff, doesn't it? I mean,
ideally, I want the local places, the mom pop shops, the places with character. I want them to stay.
Character, thank you. Character. My God, that was the word I was looking for.
Good.
I was like.
I read your mind.
Yeah, I was like, what am I trying to say? Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely what I was thinking. Like, I feel like you want the mom and pop places to stay to give the neighborhood character. Thank you.
Yes.
Or you get the, like, you know, Starbucks and Gaps and whatever of the world. But, that's a tricky one, I guess. Yeah.
It is. And we'll see. It's not the first time I think they've talked about this.
Yeah.
It's something coming up.
Yeah. And I mean, it just kind of makes me think of my, you know, I used to live in Williamsburg and just moved out not long ago. And my area, that area was prime example of that. I mean, there was all these empty spaces. And then I think literally when, like, I moved there in 2010. So I was there before it was like right on the cusp of it getting cool.
Trendsetter.
I'm such a trendsetter. I know. I'm like so, so original. It's crazy. but literally, like, I was there when it was like nothing. It was all mom and pop places, basically. When they put a Dunkin' Donuts on North 7th and Bedford, people were literally picketing outside.
Yeah.
And now look at it. I mean, yes, it's definitely lost some of its character, but also look at the property value. I'm a homeowner. I own my place in Brooklyn. And, like, you know, that's the thing is, like, it's hard to say. Depends on what side of it you're on, I guess. Helps with the appreciation value, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I've had clients that have closed because of rent increases, and
it's insane.
You know, I get the landlord side too, but I also feel like there has to be like a middle ground and something.
I agree.
Let businesses survive. They just, you know,
absolutely.
A restaurant, a cafe just can't make that much money to pay these exorbitant rents.
Right. So. Exactly. And thankfully I don't own a restaurant space, so I'm okay.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. As of now. So. Okay. Before we take a break, I just want to make a little announcement. NYC's Taste of the Nation is coming up on Wednesday, April 18th. It's at the Brooklyn Expo Center this year. And this is for No Kid Hungry. They're working to end childhood hunger in America. So the whole event's for a great cause. And there's going to be more than 40 of the hottest chefs and bartenders, sommeliers, all there. There's restaurants like Ferris and High Street and Hudson and Sunday in Brooklyn. I'm going to be there. And if you want to go to their website. It's www.events.nokidhungry.org. Okay, we're going to take one more break, come back, and we're going to do my solo dining experience and have the final question. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. This is On the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. It's time for my solo dining experience. This week, it's at Contramar. Here's the rundown. The location, Calle de Durango 200 in Mexico City, Mexico. So the concept, it's a modern Mexican seafood restaurant with a vibrant setting. The chef and restaurateur is Gabriela Camara. So why did I go? Because I was in CDMX last weekend, because I always wanted to get there and check out all these amazing restaurants in the food scene, and this place was high on my list. So my experience. So they don't take reservations, and I was a little concerned about the crowd. So I arrived right about when they opened at 12 for lunch, and it wasn't that busy yet. By the time I left, the dining room was completely full, but the beauty about getting there at that time was I was able to get a seat outside and sit al fresco, and the weather was just perfect, so I did that. The service team was amazing. My server knew English, which was helpful, even though I speak a little bit of Spanish, and he suggested that I get some half portions because I was, you know, I wanted everything. I'm a seafood lover. And that ended up being perfect because I was able to try many things. So what did I get? I had a refreshing iced tea to drink. And then I had a half portion of raw tuna tostadas. I had a half of soulfish ceviche. And then, so they have this fish. If you go on Instagram and look at Contramar, the most Instagrammed dish is this snapper, this huge snapper dish that feeds, I think, 4 to 6 people. And it has two sauces. It has a red sauce and a green sauce. And it's beautiful. And I wanted it, but I'm one person. So they made this fish with the same sauces for me. They gave me a jackfish, which was a smaller fish, and it wasn't as dramatic, I guess you'd say, of a photo when I took it, but I got the flavors and it was delicious. And then everything also came with a complimentary basket of chips and tortillas and sauces, and I had a lot of food. So my take was I loved it all. It was fresh. The seafood was, everything was super delicious. It's just my kind of place. And having all these half portions was great because I didn't get over full and I was able to try a lot of things. So the ambiance, as I said, I was sitting outside. They have lovely sidewalk seating and it's a big restaurant. It has a windowed doors and it's lively and has a bar on one side and has some marine murals, and it's a fun atmosphere. So as I said, it's perfect for seafood lovers. Interesting tidbit, Chef Camara opened Contramar in 1998 at the age of 23, And she did it to bring seafood from the coast to the landlocked Mexico City. She has since opened Entramar, which is also in Mexico City, and she's opened Cala in San Francisco. They all specialize in seafood, so you can get her food in the U.S. Personal fun fact, afterward, I strolled around the neighborhood, which was La Condesa, and it was really nice. I found a little park, and then I ventured over to this huge market. It's called Mercado de la Merced, and I walked around. It was kind of crazy, but it was cool to see when the market's in Mexico City. Okay, so the cost of my meal was $39. That's converted into U.S. and including everything. Would I go back? Yes, I would. Their website, I'm going to do it again, www.contramar.com.mx.
I like it. I like the old school vibe of the www. No one says it anymore.
I'm telling you, I think this is the first time I've done that on this show, but I don't know.
It's very weird to say. You're right. www. Yeah, it does sound a little strange, so, but I like it. I respect it.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I'm glad. Okay, so it's time for the final question. So, announcement about this. So my next show, I'm having on Eric Bruner Yang. He is a DC-based chef and owner of Makato, Paper Horse, Brothers and Sisters, and Spoken English. The last two I named are part of the New Line Hotel in DC, which is also the home of Full Service Radio. Now, Full Service Radio is this new radio station that was started up by my former producer and the Heritage Radio's executive producer, Jack Inslee. And so I'm going out to DC and I'm going to do my show this Friday from DC and on Full Service Radio. It's going to be Friday, April 6th at 11 a.m. And then we're going to re-air that show next week at my regular time, Wednesday, April 11th at 4 o'clock on Heritage Radio. So this is like cool. So that's the intro. Now, getting back to the question, I need Dara. Can you ask a question for Eric?
Yes, that was so much information.
I know. I'm like on a roll here.
Also, that's my birthday, 4/11. So
4/11. Happy early birthday.
Thank you. Okay, so my question for him. I have so many, but I'm gonna try to narrow it down. Okay, what does he think DC does better than New York? This is a food-based question. It doesn't have to be food specific, but like I went to some amazing speakeasies when I was in DC. Ooh. And actually thought that like, okay, I was like, is this a thing they just do better than we do? Because New York thinks they're the best at everything. So that'd be my question. I'd be curious to see what he says about that.
That's a great question. Yeah. And after the show, I'm going to get some of these speakeasies that you know about for my trip.
Exactly. Oh, yes. I have to give you a list of them. And it doesn't have to be also like cocktail related. It could be anything like food. You know, we think we do pizza better than everyone, which we do. but yeah, stuff like that. That'd be awesome to know.
I'll find out. It's a great question. Yeah. Terrific.
Amazing.
That's the show.
Yes. Oh, and the Line Hotel. I'm staying there actually at the one in LA next week. So that's so funny. The universe works in weird ways.
Yeah. It's I've stopped by that hotel. It's nice. I mean, they're expanding their
brand. It looks really
cool. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, this is new. Last time I was in DC a year ago, I saw the construction site, it's brand new. The restaurants, I'm checking out Eric's restaurant, everything.
Oh, amazing.
So it's going to be fun. It's cool. So that's if people, I mean, they're also internet based. You could go to, find Full Service Radio or our show again. It's going to air next week here on Heritage Radio. And it's also, well, as I always say on every show, our shows are on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. So you'll be able to find it. And it's going to be a fun little adventure.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So that's the show.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Yeah, we could just talk some more. I'm like so impressed with everything you do. everyone should follow
yes,
you.
How did I not plug myself already? Sorry. At Skinny Pig NYC.
And your website.
Yes. Oh, www.
Woo, I'm so glad you did that.
.theskinnypignyc.com. It's a little bit of a long one, but theskinnypignyc.com.
Yes.
Yes,
and
indeed.
That is Dara Pollock, the Skinny Pig NYC. Yep. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Everyone, you can follow me at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, at All Industry. My Facebook page is All in the Industry. And my website's BayerPublicRelations.com and SherryBayer.com.
Yay!
Thank you to my engineer today, Vitor. And thanks again to Dara. I'm Sherry Bayer. Tune in next week for the show or Friday. You got options. And thank you for being a part of All in the Industry. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.